Something I wanted to say before I read, something that struck me, that it's a wonderful thing being able to give money and bless people all over the world to fill boxes that some child somewhere is going to open, or to put money in the bag that's going to be used to bless people. And it's wonderful, and it's lovely to show love like that. But it struck me that sometimes it's harder to show love to the person sat next to you, or the person you meet tomorrow, or the person even you live with, maybe. Sometimes it's harder to show love to those people we're meeting face to face. It's harder to be patient with them. So it's only a short reading. It's from Ephesians chapter 4. It's only 6 verses, and I like to read it twice, just so we can think about it. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Just again, especially thinking about verse 2. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and through all and in all. Thank you.
Morning again. Tell me what you think about this. Can you see it? What do you think about this? Anyone?
Yes.
Tell me. Talk to me.
We need to be patient. We actually find it quite hard, so we want it to be there in an instant so that we can be patient and show what we need to show to the person next to us. But it's so much harder than we'd like it to be.
Yeah. We need to be patient, even while we are trying to be patient. I don't know how to put it. But anyway, years ago, when growing up as a young Christian in Nigeria, I had this poster on my wall in my room, together with other posters, of course. As a young boy growing up playing football, I used to play football very well. In fact, I thought at some point I would end up in Man U, or, yeah, you know what I mean. So I had pictures of footballers, musicians. But when I became a Christian, I stumbled across this poster. I didn't know it was written by Orrin Arnold, an American novelist in the 30s. But he wrote this about the American people at that time. But how true it is for us and for me at that point. Because I wanted God to do things in my life in a flash, you know, set me up tomorrow, and I'll become an adult the next week, and I'll become, you know what I mean. But yeah, I began to ponder on this. And so this time we are thinking about, and we are doing this study on the fruit of the Spirit, so we got to this subject of forbearance, long-suffering, patience. So I remembered this poster, this quote. And I went and read it again. So I decided to show us this morning. But I don't know about you, but as we walk through these fruits of the Spirit, each time we go through one of them or even all of them, I go home and I pray for myself for the grace of God. I don't know about you. I pray for God's grace. Because each time we do these things and we read the scripture, I go away thinking, I need to grow more in you, Lord. I really need your grace in my life, because I cannot go any inch, any further without you enabling me. Because as we read these things and study this fruit of the Spirit, I always remind myself, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about me allowing the Holy Spirit to walk through my life. And a few days ago, I was put to the test. I went to purchase something, and we were in a queue, and we were just patiently waiting for our turn. And there came this couple. They should be in their 20s from the look of it. And so they wanted to jump the line. Maybe they were from abroad. I don't know. I'm not making that conclusion. But they asked me something, and I answered very politely as much as I could. But they went up making a jest of me, you know, it's making just a mockery of me. If you knew me, I would have reacted differently. I tell you that. If you knew me, I would have done something silly. But as I looked at them, I smiled at them and just smiled at them and was thinking about what is happening, was processing everything. As I walked away from that scene after everything, I said to myself, oh, thank you, Lord, because you've taken a hold of me. You've really subdued me. You've really conquered me. Because left alone, the Henry that I used to be would have dealt with that situation differently. But I was thinking about the work of the Spirit in my life as it relates to patience and long-suffering and forbearance. And honestly, we live in an incredibly impatient world. I tell you. And that's why I believe God wants us to grow in patience. Yes. That's why I believe God wants us to grow in patience. Truly, naturally, we don't care about others. Naturally, we don't understand people. We don't want to understand them. And we think we are in control of everything. We think the world, we think we're in control, that we are very arrogant. Naturally, as a human, we are very arrogant and we feel superior to every other person that we see. That is natural. We are selfish naturally. Left alone, the natural person is selfish. That's my conclusion. With all these things happening in the world, the wars going on now, and everyone wanting to have things their way, we are naturally selfish. And at the root of it, we believe we are entitled to everything. That's the natural person. So there is a huge problem, I think, today, of impatience in our world. Impatience makes us to be poor listeners. We don't want to listen to people. Impatience makes us not to take information when we are given one. It makes us devalue others. And again, it annoys people around us. But I tell you this, when we focus on growing as disciples of Jesus, all right, the fruit of the Spirit in us grows. I said that again. When we focus on growing as disciples of Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit in us grows. When we look away from ourselves, look away from our heritage, look away from our, how should I say, our status, look away from what we've achieved, look away from where we are born, look away from ourselves, and then focus on growing as disciples of Jesus Christ, then the fruit of the Spirit grows in us. I'd like us to read the key passage that we've been reading. And I will bring us a word today, a new word. In fact, two of them. The word macrotumia. Get ready for it. And also hupomone. But I'd like us to read the key passage, Galatians 5:22, together. And after reading that, we'll read again from our passage today, Ephesians. Let's read together, please. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So forbearance, some translations call it long-suffering, and again, patience, just patience. I like us to read again Ephesians 4, 1 and 3, 1 to 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, and daring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The same word again, forbearance, long-suffering, patience, all meaning the same, because they have come from the Greek makrotumeia. Paul brings us this encouragement, but he begins by saying, I am the prisoner of the Lord. I am the prisoner. It's not like your common prisoner. It's like a prisoner out of my own will. Because he uses another Greek word there, doulos. Doulos means a prisoner that has submitted himself or herself to obey his or her master on his own will, her own will. I, the prisoner of the Lord, I am not able to walk worthy of my calling if I don't see myself as someone who is a student of the Lord, who is someone, a disciple of the Lord, who is someone, a prisoner of the Lord. So I have to see myself first and foremost as a disciple, as a student of the Lord, as a doulos of the Lord, for me to walk worthy of the calling which I have received. And for me to also have the patience with people, with everything, I have to come with it with a mindset of lowliness and gentleness, humility. I tell you what, if we are not humble, we will find it difficult to be patient with people. If we are not humble, because we will always think we are entitled to all things, we are superior than them, we are better than them, they should be the ones to adjust to my style. If I am not humble, I will not be able to have patience with people. And patience with systems, patience with the church, patience with our spouses, our children. In fact, thank you, Ruth, for what you brought, what you said. That's really from the Lord. Because sometimes it's easier for us to sort of give to people, care for people, be patient with people out there, but find it difficult to be patient with people that we live with, bearing with one another. How? In love. In love. And so love covers it all. In love. And so the word I'm bringing to us this morning has come from two different words, macro and tumeia. It's just a simple Greek word that means, macro means long, and tumeia means like anger. So long anger. Not being short-tempered, that's the idea, but being long-tempered. And the word makrotumeia and hupomone, but makrotumeia particularly, has been translated in English to mean Something like endurance, constancy, steadfastness, perseverance, long-suffering, and slowness in avenging wrongs. The slowness in avenging wrongs. Macrotumia, I think, is between faith and love. All right? So something in between faith and love, and thinking about people who are not in the same wavelength like we are, who are not in the same phase like we are, thinking about people who are sort of not running at the same pace like we are, and being patient with us. It's an opposite of anger and revenge. And it is intimately associated with mercy. You know, the easy thing for us to do is to do revenge. It's to be annoyed with ourselves, with things, with people, with systems, with the church. But macrotumia is the idea of not lashing out, but being slow in reacting. I'll show you. Patience, endurance, constancy, steadfastness, perseverance, long-suffering, and slowness in avenging anger or wrong. So, when you think about the fruit of the Spirit working in us and us seeking to be disciples of Christ, I'd like you to think about this word today, macrotumia, long-tempered. And may the Lord help us to be patient with people and also patient with systems, with things. And as we've been praying that the Lord will bring revival to this nation and other countries, patience also. Patience. But we believe that the Lord will do it. But He wants us to be patient with ourselves also. Because as young people, for example, ourselves, we want to achieve things, we want to do things, we want to see things happen with our children, with our grandchildren. Macrotumia. Patience with them. Patience with the system. Patience with the government. Patience with the political leaders. Patience. But to ourselves also, may the Lord give us the ability to face trouble without blowing up or heating out. And as I was reading about this word, I came to understand something not relevant to this, but it is where they got the word for the food they call macaroni. Long. You like macaroni? Pasta? That's where they got the name from. Because it's a long thing that suffers long. Anyway, but the Lord help us to be patient. And also, when you think of a candle, you light a candle, put it at a corner, it patiently serves you while enduring whatever it endures. So when you think about macrotumia, think about a candle that burns and at the same time patiently enduring what they are going through. So I believe we need God's patience. We need long-suffering in our lives when we deal with people. We also need God's patience, the long-suffering macrotumia in the church, like I've explained, and obviously in our homes. But above all, we need patience with the Lord. You know why? Because He also is patient, very patient with us. And Apostle Paul says about himself in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, I'll bring that to us. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His immense patience as an example for those who will believe in him and receive eternal life. Patience with the Lord because he is very patient with us. Of course, he is. When he looks down on us, and he's always just taking it easy with us. All right? If you were to swap places and be in his shoes, you might not be patient with yourself. Right? For the things we do to annoy him, the things we do when we get it wrong and when we get it right, like toddlers, you know. I remember when these ones were growing up. The first time we had that opportunity of being parents with Somto, we were not, we're always by her side. And when she falls, we grab her until someone, I think it was my mother-in-law or so, who told us, just let them be. Let them be. That's part of the thing, you know, for them to fall over and, you know, rise up again. And they'll fall, they try, they make mistakes, and that's how they grow. That's how they walk. And then they run, and of course, they do other things. So the Lord is like looking at us as you know, those little children, and he is very patient with us. I tell you, the Lord is patient with us. And so he, worst of all sinners, as he described himself, the Lord showed him immense patience. And he is thinking that he is an example to those who will believe in Christ and receive eternal life. And I think this is very true of me also. Because the Lord saved me, like they say, from the guttermost to the uttermost. Right. And I'm thinking at some point in my life, I'll write a small book about my life. And I will title it, I have already said it out, all right? I said I'll write it at some point. Mercy rewrote my life. And it's just mercy of God. Because the person I used to be is not the person I am now. God is at work in my life. And he is building me up all the time. And I tell you, we are like work in progress. We are not there yet. All right, when we make mistakes and when we respond differently, when we react differently, don't beat yourself too much. Don't condemn yourself because we are all growing. We are all asking him to use us, asking him to build us in us the patience that we need, the love, all the fruit of the Spirit, and the character of Christ is something how he builds in us day by day. And so when we pass through things and when we see things happening not the way we wished, don't be too hard on yourself. That's what I'm saying. Don't be too hard on yourself. But just allow yourself to be filled with his love. And then, like a prisoner of the Lord, try always to submit yourself to him and ask him every morning, to just take over and live out the life of Christ. And like David does, and in the Bible, of course, we see David said this, each time after the whole walk, after everything of the day, you know, he ponders on himself and thinks, all right, what have I done wrong today? What do I need to make amends with? And he asks God to help him to be the better version of himself. So the Lord is always patient with us. We have also benefited from Christ's immense patience with us. Can we read these two verses, please? The first one, Exodus 34:6, and he passed in the front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate, slow to anger. And the other one, Psalm 103, verse 8, he is slow to anger and he abounding in love. Slow to anger. That's it. He is always patient with us. And that's why we'll also ask him to help us to be patient with us. and I'm thinking that this is true. I was praying, and I just thought to myself, we develop patience when the Lord allows us to go through trials. And you know, they say faith that is not tested cannot be trusted, right? For our faith to be trusted, they have to be tested. Tested. They have to be tested. I cannot go off saying how powerful I am without going through trials first. I cannot say I am the new treasurer. I'm not talking about you. I am the new treasurer. I'm better than the old treasurer. I tell you, I have been in places where people needed to be careful with money, right? And I have been in places where some people who are in church leadership came off and started feeling that superior attitude about the former leaders. And on one occasion, someone went up saying, well, I'm not like her, I'm not like him. This is a new regime. Now we are better now, the church is in a better place now. We are, you know, I don't know if you've been, but I have been in such places. But I remember saying to them on that, when this happened, I said, wait until you've served the church as they have served the church. They have served the church for 50 years. They've served the church for, and they've faithfully served the church. And you've just been elected. You've just been appointed. And you're going off how you are going to take the church to the Greenland. Wait until your faith is tested. And that's when we prove your maturity. That's when we prove what you are saying. You don't just go off judging yourself even before you set out. All right? You wait until you are tried. You wait until you are tested. That's what I mean. So our faith is only trusted. People trust us when we've passed through things. And then we've ticked the pause. I don't want going on ticking the bus. That's not what I mean. But what I mean is that for people to know we are people of faith, we have to have been tested. When I pass through trials, tribulations, that's when I come up bolder and stronger. Was it Job that said, when he has tested me, I shall comfort as gold? Right? Our faith and our patience will only grow. The Lord knows about the trials. Do you believe that? He knows about it. He knows about all the trials, all the temptations, tribulations, suffering that we go through. He knows about them. But why doesn't he do anything about it? Because he wants me to be better. He wants me to be a better person. He wants me to be a better Christian. Why am I going through this, Lord? Because I want to use you at the other end. Why are the other people not going through what I'm going through? Because you are different. Because I know my plans for you. I want to use you as an example for others. I want to use you as my instrument, as my vessel. So when you go through trials, when you go through things, when you go through disappointments, don't compare yourself with other people. It will be unhelpful to your faith and to your development. What you need to do, ask him to reveal himself in this situation. Lord, I just need you to reveal yourself. What do you want to show me, Lord? What do you want me to learn? I'm ready to learn them. And I'll know I will become better, and I will become a better person. That's my prayer every day. Because I have gone through things, even at my age, that I look back and I ask God, why did you take me through all these things? But the Lord has always assured me, I am always with you. I know the end from the beginning. I know what I want you to become. And as I go through those things, I look back, and I thank him for not taking me out of the experience, but allowing me to go through the experience. when Jacob was with the Lord, the Bible says Jacob was left alone. And it was when he was left alone that he wrestled with the Lord. Only then, when he was with his kith and kin, he did not wrestle with the Lord. And when he wrestled with the Lord, his name was changed. His name did not change. His destiny did not change before, but after. What we need to become, the better Christian we need to become, will be put to test. And it is after all those things, we will become what God wants us to be. I just feel like we pray for ourselves. It's not easy, I must say. As we do all these fruit of the Spirit, it's not easy. Easy to say them? Yes. But when you allow yourself and see yourself in the situation, it's not very easy. Like I had with those youngsters. And I was thinking to myself, what if I reacted differently? And I had to see them maybe somewhere and try to preach to them. They'd be like, you know, yeah, but it wasn't me. It was the grace of God. It was the Spirit of God in me that has overpowered me. Because I would have dealt with it differently if I had been on the flesh, in the flesh. I tell you. So let's pray for ourselves and pray for what we have ahead of us this week. Do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Oh Lord, do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Oh, Lord, this is my cry, Lord. This is our heart cry. Do something new in our lives. Make us new, Lord, every day. Help us, Lord, to live out the life of Christ in us. Lord, may your word have its free course in us, Lord. Deal with us, Lord, according to your own timetable. Father, we pray for everything we'll do this week. May you help us to grow in you. When our faith will be put to the test, help us to come through victorious, Lord. Help us, Lord, that when those things come around us, when those things are thrown at us, that the Spirit of the living God will help us to become better and better. We pray for the week ahead of us, Lord, for the remaining hours in the day. Father, we pray you go before us. May we walk with you, Lord, and let it be all about Christ. May we decrease that Jesus will increase in our lives. Thank you, precious Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.